Daisy.
And I'm Terry.
And this is the Monday Mindset Podcast,
where we talk about things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 24.
In this week's episode, Daisy's going to share something with us that she finds interesting, and I think you will too. Daisy, what do you have?
Well, finally, and I genuinely don't know why I haven't shared this before, because it's one of my favorites. And it was one of, well, our listeners, but your listeners who chats to you, who asked for a bit more information about Gretchen Rubin's Four Tendencies. And as you know, personally, it's something I talk about quite a lot. It's one of my favorite things, but Gretchen Rubin is, for people who aren't familiar with her work, she's an author, she's a blogger, speaker, podcaster. She has a podcast called Happier, and she's really interested in happiness. She researches it, she writes about it, and she creates products around it. And she has various books. She has an online course about the four tendencies. There's also a free quiz and other resources, so you can go online and find out what your tendency is. And obviously, I strongly suggest you do that because I think it's really interesting. I think you will too. So specifically, like I say, she has got other books, but specifically, we're going to be talking about four tendencies. Happiness is her wheelhouse, but she started thinking about habits as a prequel to happiness. And we've spoken a lot about habits and some of the difficulties people might have forming new habits, trying to break old habits that they no longer want. And she was really interested in this and how you can, if you can make them work for you, that you're more likely to be happy, healthy, productive, and creative. And that's what she's all about. If you struggle to make them work for you, though, you're more likely to struggle with all these things. So she got to thinking about habits and really digging into what they are and how to build them. And specifically, how this applies to different people and different personality types. And she talks about conversations she had with friends about them talking about how easy or hard they find it to stick to habits. Like I think one of her friends said, when I was, back in college, I used to be able to attend track meets to go running every day, every week, whatever it was. But now I'm older, I simply can't manage to get myself to go running. I can't find the motivation to do it. And she started talking to different people and finding out that different people, different personality types found it difficult or easy in different ways to stick to habits. So what are habits? Basically, they're rules. Think of them as rules. And how easy or hard it is to adopt new ones, or squelch, as she calls it. I like that. That was a good word, I thought. Old or quote unquote bad ones. Now, what is key is how you respond to rules. This is what it all comes down to. So I want you to think at home, when I say, how do you respond to rules? Just think in your head how you respond to rules. And there are four categories as she sees it. And it's all about these rules, how you respond to external rules and internal rules, outer rules, inner rules, i.e. rules that are set by other people, things like deadlines, late fees, anything that someone or something external has imposed a rule on you. And then inner rules, so things that you've created for yourself, maybe New Year's resolution, something like that. Some kind of habit that you've imposed on yourself versus ones that other people are trying to impose on you. Four different categories, four different tendencies. Number one, the upholder. An upholder, and we've got like a tagline. So I've pulled from different places here. I've pulled from a fairly short video online from the 99U Behance conference, which I haven't heard of, but maybe you have. And she gave a presentation called The 4 Ways to Successfully Adopt New Habits. And I've also pulled some things from her book, The 4 Tendencies. So this is a bit of a mix and match. And the taglines, if you like, are from the book. So the upholder, the tagline is, do what's right, even when people call you uptight. Now, an upholder responds readily to both inner and outer rules. They are motivated by fulfillment, both on a practical and an achievement level. They want to know what the rules are, what is expected of them. They want to avoid making mistakes at all costs. They want to avoid blame. They want to avoid letting other people down, but also themselves down. So rules are really important. They wake up thinking, what's on the to-do list today? Next one is the questioner. Questioner's tagline is, I'll comply if you convince me why. They question all the rules, inner, outer alike, but they will follow a rule if it makes sense. Their motivation is sound reasoning. But they must decide for themselves that something makes sense, and they will not follow rules they don't agree with or they think are arbitrary. They wake up thinking, what needs to get done today? Then there's the rebel. And you'll have heard me talk about rebel because I'm one. I'm also actually a questioner, and there's a very fine line between the two. I actually think I'm probably almost half and half. Rebel's tagline is, you can't make me, but neither can I. They resist all the rules, inner and outer alike, and they are motivated by present desire. They want to do what they want to do. If you ask them or tell them to do something, they will resist. In fact, they're quite likely to do the opposite. They resist all control. They act from a place of freedom, and they are very frequently rule flouters, and they very frequently enjoy being rule flouters. They wake up thinking, what do I want to do today? The last one, and this is the most common tendency, is the obliger. Their tagline is, I'll do anything you ask until I won't. So that gives you a clue that there's only so far you can push an obliger. An obliger responds readily to outer rules, but they struggle to keep to inner rules. They're motivated by external accountability. They want to do what's expected of them. They will respond really well, as I'm sure you figured out by now, to things like deadlines, coaching, partners, and also things like responsibilities of being a role model. They tend to be people pleasers. They wake up thinking, what is expected of me today? So as you can see, they're all quite different, and it all comes down to how you respond to inner and outer rules. Some of the pros and cons about the different tendencies. An upholder. Compliance. They know the rules. They often go beyond the rules. They know the rules on the rules. They're good self-starters who don't need much supervision or accountability. The cons, though, what are the negatives? They can be a bit rigid. They can lack sympathy and tolerance for other people who aren't the same as them. They can also get a bit overwhelmed and paralyzed if there aren't any rules or if the rules are ambiguous. But it's also possible that if they find themselves in that situation, they will create some rules. So it's all about the rules for upholders. The questioner, in a positive light, is very intellectually engaged. It's all about the why. I remember this in my childhood, used to infuriate my mother. But why? Why is it like that? Why do I have to do it like that? Always why? They want to understand everything. They're researchers. They don't actually mind rules per se, but they have to research them, and they will only stick to rules if it makes sense And obviously, to make sense or not make sense, they've really got to find out all the information first to make that decision, to make that judgment about the rules. So what's the negative? If the rules don't make sense, they won't stick to them. And they might not tell you that they're not going to stick to them. A good example here, actually, and I think this is why you see quite a lot of questioners in the keto community, and this is going to sound quite familiar. A good example is that they might go to their doctor and their cholesterol readings are a bit high, particularly their LDL, and their doctor wants to put them on statins. And they go home and they do a bit of research. They might look at Dave Feldman's website, watch a few videos, and they decide that, I don't want to go on statins. I don't think this is a good idea. I've done my research. This is not a good idea. I'm not going to do it. And I might not bother telling my doctor about it. That's a questioner. They can be exhausting to work with because they always need to understand. They need to question everything, and they need to prove that what they're doing, the decisions they've made, are right. The rebel, probably pretty obvious what the pros and cons are. The pros, they're really good thinking outside the box. They're happy to break the rules. They have high engagement because they're always pretty much doing what they want to do. The negatives are probably pretty obvious. They can be really, really frustrating to deal with because they don't want to do what you tell them to do or what you want them to do. In fact, they might end up doing the opposite. But it's also frustrating for them because the same applies to them. If they try and impose rules on themselves, the response they have to that is, I'm not doing that. In fact, I want to probably do the opposite to what you're trying to get me to do. So, you know, just bear in mind, if they're frustrating for you, they're probably also frustrating for themselves. The obliger, obviously, really reliable, great person to have on your team. They get things done. Really, the negatives for obligers are mostly for obligers. They're people pleasers at their own expense. They're prone to burnout. They're not good at self-starting or sticking to something unless there is some kind of external accountability. So you may have identified yourself already as to which tendency you think you have. I still recommend that you take the quiz and you answer all the questions really, really honestly, because you still might be a little bit surprised. In fact, there's somebody in my Facebook group who was very resistant to it and said, well, this isn't going to work for me because I'm not going to fit in any of the boxes. You know, it's not going to work. There's no point in me doing it. Guess which tendency I think she is. So if you can imagine, they kind of work together, fit together. So if you imagine each one has a circle, they kind of have their opposites and then they have their overlaps. So if you imagine first a circle up the top, which is upholder, and a circle below, which is touching but not overlapping with the upholder, is the rebel. And those two are opposites, so they don't overlap. And you can see why. The upholder sticks to external and internal rules, and the rebel resists both. So there's never going to be any overlap there. And then the same left and right. You've got questioner on one side and you've got obliger on the other side. They don't overlap with each other, but they overlap on the sides. So an upholder will either tend towards being an upholder slash questioner or an upholder slash obliger. The rebel will either be a questioner slash rebel obliger. So you see there's these overlaps. Or you can be a straight down the middle upholder, upholder, questioner, questioner, rebel, rebel. You see, so you're either like a pure form tendency or you kind of tend to one side or the other usually. So an upholder, you've just got to mention a job that needs doing to an upholder and they will just get on with it. They'll run with it. But what I was saying about having these tendencies, one side or the other, an upholder questioner gives a bit more weight to inner expectations, whereas the upholder obliger gives a bit more weight to outer expectations. Kind of simple, obvious one, really. The obliger. Now, this is the largest tendency group, as I mentioned, in both men and women. And an obliger is likely not to meet expectations without the external accountability. One of the ways to manage this in yourself is to set up some kind of external accountability, because otherwise, basically, it's unlikely to get done. But the obliger can lean both ways as well. So the obliger upholder has a much clearer sense of their own capacities and desires, and interestingly, a greater ability to say no. So when we spoke a little bit about obligers being real people pleasers, they are, but if they tend towards being an upholder, they actually find it a lot easier to say no to people. The obliger rebel is a lot more resentful about other people's demands and won't necessarily be able to say no. But what happens is they go past a given point, which can actually happen quite quickly, and they'll snap, and that's it. No more obliging. The rebel, as we said, can be difficult to deal with, including with themselves. But one way to deal with them is to make them think something was their idea. And I actually remember my mother doing this with me. You also need to give them all the information, all the possible consequences of their actions, and let them decide what they're going to do. You can also potentially try challenging them. That can work. I bet you can't do such and such. I'll show you. And Gretchen is really funny about this. She talks about a friend of hers who had people telling her, I bet you can't get into Harvard. And she was, I'll show you. And she showed them all the way into Harvard. So sometimes that works. Now, that wouldn't work with me, actually, but it can work. Rebels tend both ways too. So the rebel obliger, this is quite an interesting one, and this is very much not me. But a rebel obliger can be triggered negatively by positive approval and encouragement to do the opposite. I can imagine that is the ultimate frustration. So you can be praising and trying to encourage a rebel obliger and wonder why they then go on to do the opposite of what you've been encouraging them with.
Cognitive dissonance.
Exactly. The rebel questioner has less trouble resisting their own expectations. So basically, they can sometimes get themselves to do something. And this is a really interesting way, and I hadn't put these two things together, but it instantly made sense when I saw it in the book. If you can make a habit part of your identity as a rebel, it's going to work well for you. So it's just who you are and not a rule you have to follow. So when I was talking about the sleep thing, I wanted to be an early morning person. I'm an early morning person. I don't have to get up early. I'm just an early morning person. It's what I want to do. I want to get up early. See? And then we've got the questioner. And I'm really, like I say, on the scales, I think I balance between the two. And the questioner also tends both ways. Questioner upholder, more likely to accept social expectations. The questioner rebel, if they disagree with external expectations, they will happily flout them. For example, and funnily enough, when I was trying to think of examples before I'd skipped through the book, I'd thought of the same example as a brilliant example, and she lists it. So traffic violations are the perfect example. If there are external expectations, rules, call them what you like, and a questioner rebel doesn't agree with them, they'll feel completely entitled to ignore them. So traffic violations, take me for example, take speed restrictions. When I'm driving through a town, a village, a built-up area, I will pretty rigidly stick to the speed limit or lower. because I've watched the videos and I've read the articles about what happens at various speeds when a child suddenly comes out from behind a car chasing a football or something. I know all the gruesome details about what happens when you hit that child at 20 miles an hour, 30, 40, 50. You start going over the very sensible restrictions that are placed on the speed of your vehicle in a built-up area. The chances of you killing that child are extremely high. Those rules make complete sense to me, so I will stick to them. I will not only stick to them, I will try and ensure that everyone around me sticks to them. And if someone's coming up quickly behind me, looking like they're wanting to speed, I will go not just to the speed limit, but a bit lower and be that really annoying person. I've even moved into the middle of the road to stop them going past. People have tried to overtake me and I won't allow it. However, you put me out on the motorway on a lovely, sunny, clear day. I don't see any reason why I should stick to the speed limits there, especially when in Germany they don't have speed limits on their motorways. I don't see the need for it. But I have also, questioner coming in, I've worked out what I can get away with. Different rules apply in different countries. In France, it's generally understood that you can get away with 5% over. So I keep to about just under 5% over the speed limit on a motorway. I'm perfectly happy with that. That's a traffic violation. You know, I'm breaking the law doing that. I'm quite happy to do so. That's a questioner rebel. And one final thing about questioners, which I find particularly ironic, is that they do not like being questioned themselves. You kind of assume maybe they'd relish in the fact, but think about it. A questioner has worked through all the questions. They've worked through all the information. They've done all the research and they've figured out the answer. So they basically know they're right and they don't want to waste time explaining it to you. They don't want to be questioned on it. Thank you very much. That is me. I'm laughing about it, but I can also see it from the outside and I can see how I am very often a very, very frustrating person to deal with. But it makes me laugh. I think those two tendencies actually are quite comical, but maybe that's just because it's who I am. But you might want to speak to my friends and family about it. I'm sure they don't find it anywhere near as funny. So that's it. A lot of that is repeated from Gretchen Rubin. She does it a lot better than me. So I really do urge you to watch the video that I will put a link to and go on and read her book if you want to find out in a lot more detail about your own tendency and how to make the most of it, because it's, you know, it's the positives and the negatives, and this is all about making new habits stick. And the reason for doing that is to make yourself happier. That's the goal of what she's doing here. This is the outcome. It's not actually to take digs at people. I know I'm sort of, you know, making jokes about it and having little digs, but the goal of it is to understand how you work so that you can be more productive, more creative, happier, have a happier and more fulfilled life. So there you have it. Finally,
yay.
Gretchen Rubin's Four Tendencies.
I have the book, but I have not read it. I have taken the quiz. I find it an interesting concept. As a psychologist, I've always enjoyed learning about these kind of personality type assessments, and I always find some fault with them and question them. But I think one of the things that I always try and think about with hers, with Myers-Briggs, is that there aren't bad categories to be in or bad.
Oh, yes, it's something actually that she makes a big point of when she starts. Hey, look, there are no good or bad tendencies here. It's just about finding what you most tend towards so that you can help yourself. Yeah.
And like you said, help yourself. And I think also understand other people in your life.
Mm.
Again, I'm thinking about if in a romantic relationship, in a boss-employee relationship, whatever the relationship is, that if you understand that person's approach rather than just being irritated by it, like, oh, why does she always have to ask so many questions? Versus if you can know this is what she's going to do. Her way of feeling good about this is to ask a lot of questions and to do whatever, that can help the relationship be more successful and help the goals of the relationship to be more successful. That all being said, of course, when I listen to the descriptions, I think, oh, I wish I was that one. I wish I was an upholder, because that sounds so much easier. But again, just to highlight.
In some ways, but yeah. It has its own downsides.
Sure. And also, I think the more you can understand it, the more you can do about your tendency, not change your tendency, but learn to work within it and find ways to soften it, make it work better for you. If you know that your tendency tends to come across in a certain way to people, you can find different ways to communicate that to, again, help with the relationship piece.
I must admit, actually, I was thinking about, because when you just said that, I wish I was an upholder. It's funny, actually, because my dad's an upholder. And I think he is an upholder. So he's the most upholderness of upholders. And I've often said that. I wish I could be like my dad. When my dad decides he's going to do something, he just starts doing it. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had that conversation with him. And I said, I've said, Dad, I wish I was more like you. I wish I could decide I was going to do something. I said, how do you do it? He said, I don't know. I've just always done it like that. Just who he is.
Yeah, it's his tendency. I think it's interesting too. I recently had another conversation with a client about this, and she is very much a rebel. And one of the things she recognized is that, for example, if she's trying to change something, trying to change a habit or behavior, she is much more aligned. Maybe that's not the right word. She can receive feedback better from obligers than other tendencies because they're not going to push something on her or hold her to something. And it was just kind of interesting in our conversation, talking to me, I'm an obliger. And so that makes it a little bit easier. So her rebel tendency doesn't have to resist so much what I'm saying as it might with someone else.
Yeah, that makes sense then. That's how you're one of the few people who can get through to me without putting my back up. Mm-hmm. Because people can get through to me, people can make sense, but my initial reaction is to put a wall up when someone makes a suggestion. Like my mother, for example, my automatic, it's that reflex, I'm not going to do it, I want to do the opposite. I don't have that reaction with you or very rarely. I mean, I can have people make suggestions and that's my automatic reflex and I'll go away and I think about it and I might come round to it. But I very rarely have that reaction to you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a very interesting point. Actually, yeah.
So even learning who can I get feedback from and work with it best, that might even help us know, who do I go to with this question? Who do I seek this support from? So I think it's just great not only to understand yourself, but also to understand other people's tendencies and how you interact with them, and that could be really useful information. So I'm so excited that we did this one, Daisy, because I've always had questions about it. And maybe now I will go read the book. But I hope that listeners take some of this, think about their own style, maybe take the quiz, and then see how it fits in their relationships and in their decision making, and hopefully find out some interesting things.
Yes, and what I will do is put up maybe some images or a bit more information about these tendencies. There'll be a link to the quiz, but please come and check out our social media, particularly this week, because I would love to hear more from you. I would really, really be interested to hear what your tendency is and what your stories are and, what's maybe clicked into place for you, things that you found difficult, things that you found easy, the ways that you've found around problems with trying to stick to new habits. I think, as you can tell, I find it fascinating. So please come and find us on Facebook or Instagram, because that's going to be a great way for you to engage with us and carry on this conversation, which I would love to carry on with you. So please come and find us.
Absolutely. All right, everyone, have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.
Have a great week.